This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Yes, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the two favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to bring in one of the best of the business, and proud to say a good friend, and that is the play-by-play voice, the outstanding Matt LePay of Wisconsin. Matt, welcome. Great to have you back on the show.
Good to be on with you, Steve. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, bud. Doing great. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Three in a row for this team. What have you seen have been the common threads, Matt, between the three games that's allowed them to get this three-game streak going?
Well, one of the things, Steve, they've done is they've tightened up the running back rotation. Tawee Walker is getting more of a workload now. He's a transfer from Oklahoma, and he's been on a bit of a roll here, averaging better than 6 yards a carry over these last three ball games. Garyon Dupree, a true freshman out of Chicago, statistically it looks pretty modest, but he's someone with a pretty interesting and exciting skill set. He can catch ball out of the backfield in addition to being a really good ball carrier. But they've been able to shorten that up. I mean, there are games they're running five guys out there, and nobody was getting a ton of work. So the idea was to try to get somebody hot, and they've been able to do that with Tawee Walker. And I think in a very general sense, the offensive line is certainly playing pretty well now. Defensively, in a general sense, they seem to be playing faster. They talked about having more speed, you know, a lot of that via the transfer portal, and maybe just other guys who are gaining experience. But maybe they're just getting a better understanding now, a year and a half in, with the new coaching staff, of what they're doing on that side of the ball. Now, a qualifier is, you know, they play teams that are struggling here too, with Purdue going to Rutgers and then Northwestern. So they also know they're playing well, but everything ramps up starting Saturday night. The rest of their regular season schedule is a pretty interesting group of games coming up.
Man, what's interesting to me, when I watch Tawee Walker play, he seems to get through small areas, like just creases, and makes plays. Is that fair?
Yeah, he's a powerful runner too. I mean, he's not long by any stretch. Somebody made the crack during fall camp. It's like you watch him run, and he might need seven strides to go 5 yards. He is the anti long strider.
Yeah,
but he runs with force, and he can deliver a blow. He's just fine doing that. He can make you miss a little bit too. But if it's one on one and there's no place to go, he will dish it out. And you know, I think part of the feeling is that those 3 and 4 yard runs of the first quarter can become longer when you get into the third and the fourth quarter. He's playing like a very hungry guy right now. Senior year, started in junior college, then at Oklahoma, and he already has more carries at Wisconsin now than he had all of last season with the Sooners.
Another element, too, is that's a common thread in this three-game streak. I don't think they've been behind a single second, have they?
No, they haven't. They've gotten off to fast starts. It took a little bit. I wouldn't call it a fast start against Northwestern, but certainly against Rutgers and against Purdue, they were able to get the early jump. And of these last three games, Steve, I think, and I know Rutgers is, you know, it's been a struggle for them here lately, but you know who they are. They're going to run the ball. Kyle Monongai is going to do his thing.
Right.
You know, one of the better running backs in all of college football. And Wisconsin had been pretty leaky against the run. It's no great secret. But in the guts of that game, you know, Monongai couldn't get going. So the run defense for Wisconsin has improved. Now, again, this week, it's a little different animal with you know, the Penn State offense, but they have been they've been playing really well, and the difference is in these last three games they've won convincingly, which we haven't been able to say that about Wisconsin football, no matter the opponent, for a while. So I think it's safe to say there's some cautious optimism But these guys are starting to figure things out now and are ready to keep building and moving forward. But, you know, we've all figured out, this is becoming a little bit like the NFL, and maybe in a lot of ways, but it's a week-to-week kind of season. You can feel really great about yourself, and then everything turns on a dime the following Saturday.
No question. Tyler Van Dyke began the season as the quarterback, then he got hurt on that sideline play against Alabama. Braden Locke, for the second straight year, has had to step in. What have you seen in his maturity as a player now compared to the player you saw last year?
Yeah, that's a key word, I think, Steve, maturity, because he will, I mean, you know, every game here, he might give the opponent a couple of shots for a pick, and if it happens, it doesn't fluster him. He will come back and do his thing. Now, I think the difference this year is that it is his job. Tyler Van Dyke is not going to come back this season, where last year he was keeping the chair warm until Tanner Mordecai was able to come back. But even last year, you know, he led his team on a really impressive comeback win, a fourth quarter rally down in Champaign against Illinois. But he is somebody who they marvel at how smart he is. You know, you would hope all quarterbacks are, but this guy has a real grasp of their offense, can get them into the right play. His arm strength is not the same as Tyler Van Dyke's. Van Dyke has a better fastball, to use the baseball comparison. But Braden can make the deep throws. This team has become a little bit more explosive over the last, maybe not so much in the Northwestern game, but the two prior to that, they were getting some chunk plays that had been lacking. Even in the USC game, especially in the first half of that game, it was showing an ability to get some big hits. It's, as you know, those 15-play, 80-yard drives are great, but expecting that over and over again, that's a big ask. And they've been able to get some more 10, 20, 30, 40-yard type of plays. That's really, I think, with their ability in the passing game, even though it was modest in the Northwestern game, I think opponents are starting to respect Wisconsin's ability to throw it, and that, in turn, can open up some things on the ground.
Well, that's one of the big differences, is when Longo came in, and Luke wanted to go with the air raid offense. And, you know, what has that meant transition-wise for Wisconsin? What has it also meant transition-wise, personnel-wise, to get into this offense?
Yeah, I think my broadcast partner is Mark Tauscher, who was an offensive lineman here at Wisconsin and is in Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And I was asking him this question last year, and he said, you know, what they're asking these offensive linemen to do is a lot different than what they had been asked to do previously. So there was an adjustment period there. You know, when you hear the term air raid, too, I think, you know, there are a lot of different versions of it.
Right.
You know, here it doesn't mean throwing it 50 times a game.
Right.
Now, with the late Mike Leach, it probably did, right? But here, it's more about balance.
Right.
You know, Phil Longo stresses that. He's had, you know, at North Carolina previous stops, he has had offenses that have been more balanced. And that's what they're trying to achieve here. And they're getting there. You know, their whole idea, they say it's attack grass. Get the ball to a playmaker in space and let him go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken some time. Will Pauling is certainly establishing himself.
Right.
A redshirt freshman from Hawaii named Tretch Kekahuna has. They're getting there, Steve. I'm not saying they're a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, but they're showing some really good signs in recent weeks.
I've got to ask you about Waller on defense, because whenever anybody brings up to me Wisconsin, he's actually the first player I talk about. When you watch him play safety spot, punt returner, whatever, what are we seeing with him?
You're seeing a guy who just, you know, just a ball player. You know, kind of like when I see Tyler Warren, I'm thinking, this guy's a ball player.
Yeah.
Whatever you want him to do, he'll do it.
Right.
I mean, Hunter Waller, in a way, has some similarities defensively. You know, they move him around. You'll see him close to the line of scrimmage at times. He loves it. You know, he just throws his body all over the place. I mean, he doesn't have a pick yet this season. He helped create one in the Rutgers game. But, you know, where the ball is, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see Hunter Waller. He is kind of that, you know, people here love him. He's a Wisconsin guy. Jim Leonard raved about him when they were recruiting him, because in high school they asked him to do so many different things. A sky-high football IQ and someone who's really turned into a terrific college player and a perfect fit for Wisconsin. What that'll translate to in the NFL, I don't know that. But here, he's been one of those guys that has just meant the world. And not just what he does on the field. I mean, he's not the world's most vocal guy, Steve, but if he has to say something, he will. Last year, this team, Northwestern, came in here and beat the brakes off of Wisconsin. And Waller and Tanner Mordecai, at the time the quarterback, had very pointed comments where they were calling themselves out. And that's something that, you know, we hadn't really heard from Hunter Waller before. But you spend 20 seconds with them and you can understand how much the game means to them and how much it means to him to be playing at the University of Wisconsin.
The two linebackers, Chaney and Thomas, it seems like a lot funnels in their direction. What do they bring to the table that impresses you?
Yeah, a ton of experience in both cases. Jaheim Thomas is a transfer, started his career at Cincinnati and then was at Arkansas last year and was among the leading tacklers in the SEC. And certainly size, a little bit more linked with him than with Jake. But Jake's another guy who's been a Badger throughout his career. He's from Cape Coral, Florida, but he's the guy who, he wears the green dot. You'll maybe get a chuckle out of this. I asked him about that last week. I said, well, they're showing great trust in you, your ability being a leader, you know, being a captain. How is that gone? And he said, well, to be honest, we don't really use it very much. but they get guys lined up. So he's honest as well as a good football player too. But Chaney's one of those guys that they talked about in the off season. You know, I mentioned Waller as a leader, Chaney the same thing, from the weight room, all of the workouts, spring ball. He's a guy that the newer players will go to because they've both meant a ton to this team.
All right. The three block kicks, this is something where I've looked at over and over again. Because it's so often a special teams play can do something. What has allowed this team to be so precise in blocking kicks?
Well, that's been more of a lately thing. You know, in the Rutgers game, it was maybe a low kick. Last week, Ben Barton was able to reject a field goal. They're not afraid to use starters on special teams. I don't think that's unique. But Ben Barton is a starting defensive lineman. Ricardo Hallman blocked a field goal in the Rutgers game. I think there might have been a low snap there, but he still made the play. It was a play to be made. Mm-hmm. He played it, and he made the play. He's a starting cornerback for this team. So, I would tell you they put great emphasis on it. I don't think I've ever heard of a coach who says, "Oh, now we don't." But they do. You know, in the course of the week, they'll spend a fair amount of time each day on special teams work. So they're running a little bit of a hot streak in that regard now, and it certainly served them well in the Northwestern game. They got one of the players got his hand on a punt as well. So I think Fickell uses the word confidence a lot, and mm-hmm. I would guess that Coach Franklin does the same thing there. Yeah. Once you start to see some results. Yeah. With all that work you put in, you hope you could build on that. You know, a lot of bad things are contagious. They're hoping some of this good stuff that they've had mm-hmm. is contagious and they can build off of that. But their special teams units are on a bit of a heater right now, and we'll see if that can continue.
Look, Wisconsin's had, you know, we always don't, we hear the word culture all the time. It's one of those things where you see it, you know it. Okay, it's like you can say the word, but when you see, you know, with Barry Alvarez, they had it. With Brett Bielema, they had it. With Paul Chryst, they had it. I think I'm accurate in saying all that. All right, now Luke Fickell comes in. What have you seen with him and how he's tried to build a Wisconsin culture based on Wisconsin's tradition, but also how he feels about the game?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Steve, and those guys you mentioned before, you talk about different personalities to be sure. You know, Barry and Brett, there's a lot of similarities there, but there are definite differences. Paul Chryst, is much different than those two guys. Now Luke Fickell comes in, and no matter, we talked about the air raid, but I remember asking Fickell this really early in his time here before they played the first game, and it's still about the line of scrimmage. Right. It's about being a more physical team, which if those who know about Luke Fickell's background would come as zero surprise. He was a nose guard at Ohio State.
Yep.
One of his closest friends is Mike Vrabel. kind of thrives on physicality, right? Probably to this day, in working with the Cleveland Browns, and certainly as a head coach in the NFL, he was like that. So there is an intensity with Luke. I think, you know, the messaging itself in some ways is probably different. Well, not probably, it is different from Paul, but I think the core values are very, very similar. You know, they want to be the team that wins the trenches. They want to be the team that can wear you down. So in that regard, it hasn't changed a lot. I think the players now, and those who came with Fickell from Cincinnati to Wisconsin, they know the drill. And, you know, the strength coach came from Cincinnati, right. Brady Collins. So there is an intensity with which they do things that might be a little bit different, but the core values, I think, you know, no matter the play style, the core values are not much different at all from Paul Chryst, Brett, Barry, so on and so forth.
Madison certainly has had a big week, including yesterday, because the presidential campaign came there yesterday. So obviously the town's been hopping over that. Leading into this game, what's the town and what's the vibe been like in town about the game itself?
Yeah, you know, Steve, it's been a while since Wisconsin has won a game on this kind of a stage. So I would tell you that there is some excitement building, but I think around here there's a hesitancy to it as well. Wisconsin, I think so far in this decade, has beaten ranked opponents twice,
yeah.
Purdue and Iowa 3 years ago, and Purdue did not finish in the top 25. Iowa did. So people here are waiting for that, if you want to call it, signature moment. They had a couple chances earlier with Alabama, and then, you know, we fought with USC, although it's been a little different story here lately for the Trojans. But you got Penn State this weekend, middle of November, Oregon rolls in here. I mean, top five opponents. So there will be an excitement. It's a night game. The weather's going to be pretty good. Maybe a little chill in the air, but certainly pretty good weather for Madison, Wisconsin for late October. It's approaching Halloween weekend. I'll let you use your imagination from there on what you might see and hear on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's already racing. The new Big Ten, you know, obviously you went out to the coast and you did the USC game just like I did, you know, a couple weeks ago. Just what's your thought? You know, it's something we all have to live with, but, you know, what's your thought on 1 through 18? I mean, the new Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to it. I mean, selfishly, it was a real kick to go to the L.A. Coliseum. I'm sure you felt the same way, just the history of that stadium.
Sure.
I've never been there for a game before, so I really wanted to, you know, get there extra early and take it in. At the same time, I missed the Pac-12. You know, being of a certain age, you grew up with the Big Ten looking a certain way,
yep,
and the postseason looking a certain way, and now it's changed. So I'm trying to embrace it all, but it's a different world. I'm still wrapping my mind, Steve, around the fact that the Rose Bowl is a quarterfinal game now.
I know. it's forever going to be a quarterfinal game.
Yeah, it is. But I guess at the end of it, you know, the game itself is extremely popular. I mean, the NFL is in its own galaxy, but after that, college football is next in line.
Yeah.
People love the games.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Sunday through Friday could be a hot mess.
Yeah.
But Saturdays are still wildly entertaining, and I think, you know, with a 12-team playoff, you're allowed a hiccup, maybe two, but I still think the games themselves, when you see the unranked teams beating the ranked, you know, when Vanderbilt beats Alabama and so on and so forth, there's still a certain charm to the college game that you don't get in the NFL, but I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't. Right. I think it was a Ryan McGee at ESPN a couple years ago said, I love Saturday football. I love Sunday football. I don't need Saturday football to look like Sunday football.
Right.
But we're kind of heading in that direction. So, you know, you embrace it. I think the games themselves are still fun. It's still fun getting to know these players. But a lot of this, I think we're all trying to get used to. The younger crowd, this is what you're going to know. And you're good with it. It's, you know what you know. And for us, it might be a little bit more of a process getting adjusted to an 18-team conference.
You're the best, man. It's always great talking with you. They can't wait to see you on Saturday, man.
Likewise, man. I look forward to seeing you and Jack. Safe travels. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, brother. Thanks. The outstanding Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football and basketball. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.